Kathy? I
don't have any embarrassing stories to tell.
I've got to give you some new ones. I'll give you a new one tonight. Running out of things to say, huh? Good evening. We've been going through the first chapter of the book of Mark, and I want to start out tonight with a bit of a review before we get into our text. In Mark 1, verse 1, Mark identifies Jesus Christ as the Son of God. We oftentimes take for granted what a miracle it is that Christ, who is God, took on human form and a human nature and dwelled among us. Christ came as the Messiah to save them and us from our sins, those who put their full trust in Him. But how do we know that Jesus Christ is the genuine article? How do we know that He is the Son of God? In the time of Christ, you had those who were around Him, and you had Christ Himself and all that He did. In our day and age, we have the inerrant Word of God. If we keep reading through Mark, those passages that we have been looking at, we see John proclaiming Him as mightier than he, baptizing with the Holy Spirit, whose sandals John was not worthy to unloose. During Christ's baptism, the Holy Spirit Himself descends upon Christ like a dove. And we hear the words from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God the Father. The Messiah had come with life and liberty for all who believed. Christ goes into the wilderness and defeats Satan's efforts in his attempt to try and tempt Jesus with sinning. He preaches that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe in Him. Christ calls a few of His disciples, telling them that He will make them fishers of men. He not only has the power to save, but the power to call, the authority and the power to make them His disciples. Prior to Christ's coming, the only way to deal with sin was to cover it with an animal sacrifice. Christ has come not to cover a sinner's sin, but to deal with that sin. Christ and His disciples go into Capernaum, and on the Sabbath He enters the synagogue and begins to preach with authority. At that time, an unclean spirit who had possessed a man in the assembly cries out that Christ is the Holy One of God. Christ casts out the unclean spirit, demonstrating that He has power over the spiritual realm as well. He is the Christ, the Messiah, and not only has He come from God the Father to save the lost, but He has the power to do it. We pick up with our passage tonight in Mark chapter 1, verse 29 through 39. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to Him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then He healed many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons, and He did not allow the demons to speak, because they knew Him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Christ continues in his ministry in the inspired account of Mark with healing, prayer, and preaching. It demonstrated to the people who witnessed it, and today the two things we're going to look at tonight is one, the proof of who he is, and two, what his priority was when he came here. Before we go any further, let's ask God's help in understanding his word. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can gather in your church and hear your word. I pray for understanding tonight, Father, and illumination. Help us to see what you want us to see out of your word this evening. I pray for all of us here that you will change us through your word tonight. Help us to see what we did not see before. Help us to know what we do not know. Just bless us, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus and those with him leave the synagogue on the Sabbath after he had taught. They go to Peter's house, Simon Peter, and Peter's mother-in-law is in bed with the fever. Now, this past week, I did quite a bit of reading on first century medicine. And what became apparently clear to me is this. First century medicine was a lot different than 21st century medicine. Peter could not just run down to the local Walmart and pick up some acetaminophen for his mother-in-law. There were differing approaches to diagnoses and treatment, even in the region that we are talking about. One belief at the time was that fever was caused by starlight. Another was that it was caused by tiny bugs too small for the eye to see. At the time, not a lot was known about human anatomy because of the fact that you were considered unclean if you touched a dead body. And even the Romans, who were over the region, were opposed to dissecting corpses. Fevers were not understood. The Romans were so confused about it that they prayed to a goddess, Fibris, the goddess of fever, who they believed not only embodied fever, but could also protect people from it. Even the ancient Greeks, who had no qualms about furthering their understanding through dissection, were still a far way off from understanding certain things. There was no classification for a fever as either a symptom or a disease. The Greek word that Mark uses for fever is pureso, which in the Greek can also be used to describe when a person is on fire. In Luke's account, Luke the physician goes a little bit further, and we read in Luke 4:38, "Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But Simon's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her." Megla pureso, high fever or scorching heat. Essentially, Peter's mother-in-law was in bed, burning up with a fever, in a time when the only treatment was to make the person as comfortable as possible and wait to see if they recovered or they died. It was a very real, life-threatening condition. Jesus comes in, takes her by the hand and lifts her up, and immediately the fever is gone. Think about that for a moment. Jesus had just come from the synagogue where he had demonstrated his power over the spiritual realm by casting out an unclean spirit. With Peter's mother-in-law, he demonstrates his power over the physical realm. Luke writes that Jesus rebuked the fever and it left her. She goes from potentially being on death's door to being completely healthy, so much so that she immediately set about serving them. Recently, we returned from a trip to Missouri, my wife and I and Abby. We were down there to watch my niece graduate from high school. And we left on Tuesday, which was the first official day of my vacation, and we drove through Indiana and into Illinois that first night. And as we were going, I started to feel a little ill. And I don't sweat much as an individual. Many of you know that. But I had sweat popping out on my forehead. It was running a fever. So we pulled over for a little bit to stop so I could splash some water on my face. And then we hit the road again. And when we were 10 miles from the hotel, I got that little indication that I'm either going to throw up here in the car or I'm going to pull over and throw up on the side of the road. But one of those two places, it's going to happen. So I pulled over and told Rebecca I'll be right back and promptly went to the side of I-70 and spilled my guts. And it was violent. And what I didn't know was that Abby was sitting in the back seat and could hear it all. The kind of throw up where you're checking the ground to make sure you still have everything that should be inside of you inside of you. So Rebecca drove the rest of the way to the hotel. I brushed my teeth and went to bed. And the next morning, the fever was gone, but I was still feeling the effects of it. I was still wiped out from it for like 2 days afterwards, just weak. Rebecca and I later, when I was feeling better, discussed whether I was really sick with the fever or if it was the 15 pizza rolls I'd eaten on my first day of vacation. The jury's still out. But it took me a couple of days to get over that fever, whatever the cause. Jesus reached down, took Peter's mother-in-law by the hand, lifted her up, and she was well, like that. God is the only one who can heal like that. It is a powerful, powerful demonstration of who Jesus is. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. The sun sets. The restrictions of the Sabbath on what you could do and what you couldn't do ends. And word gets around about Jesus and what he has done. No doubt in the synagogue and in the home of Simon Peter, people find out where Jesus is. People who are sick and demon-possessed start arriving at the door, and Jesus sets about healing and casting out demons. The demons he casts out, he does not allow to speak. And the reason he does not allow the demons to speak, because he did not need their testimony about who he is. Everything that Christ said and that Christ did gave a far better testimony as to who he is. Christ had the power and the authority, and he demonstrated that clearly. pastor spoke this morning regarding miracle after miracle as the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. When Christ comes, we see it again. The disciples of Christ were also given the power to do so by Christ himself. Scripture records examples of them casting out demons and healing people. Scripture also records them trying and failing at times. Jesus never failed in his healing. Jesus, the Son of God, he forgave sins, he cast out demons, and he healed people because he is God. The healing that Jesus did was miraculous, a great and a very powerful illustration that showed who Jesus is, but it did not show why he had come. Jesus and God had a far more perfect agenda in mind. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. The night before, Jesus was healing and casting out demons, and in the morning, long before the sun rises, probably before most people are up, he gets up, goes out to a solitary place, and talks to God. He did this because he had a relationship with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. Before God created man, before the foundations of the world, there was perfect harmony and perfect relationship among the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, one God, three persons. Jesus, who is God, along with divine nature, took on a human nature and a human form and came to earth to do the will of God the Father among his creation, who they had been giving everything and yet disobeyed. Christ submitted to God the Father and his will because it brought honor and glory to him. God does not need a relationship with his creation. I think there are times when we do not fully understand what a blessing it is to be able to talk and have a relationship with our Creator. We must not make the mistake of thinking that God is a genie whose sole purpose is to cater to our whims and to cater to our needs. God supplies all our needs. But do we really understand and believe that? My wife Rebecca and I have a relationship. Are there times when I ask things of her? Of course. I'm standing here tonight in a matching shirt and tie. But that does not define our relationship, nor is it the only component of our relationship. We communicate to each other and try to talk about everything. When we are having a good day or a rough day, we share that. We need to have that and more with God. Can we bring a request to him? Certainly. And he will hear and respond to those prayers asking for things. But do not let that be all that there is to your relationship with God, because there is so much more. God needs to be a part of every aspect of your life, not because God needs it, but because we need it. I think of the high points in my life that I have been able to share with my God. The birth of Abby, my marriage to Rebecca, when I've graduated. And then there are the low points, when people I have loved have died or been sick, when I've faced surgeries or sickness or been depressed or been afraid. I have been able to share all of that with God in my relationship with Him. Jesus understood the importance of the relationship we all have if we are saved with God. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." The story of what Jesus had done had spread. People had heard about the miraculous cures and the casting out of demons, and they went seeking him. Jesus had come preaching the gospel. Some recognized that he was the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah. But I'm sure that many did not. Many who were suffering from various ailments and afflictions wanted only the cure. Jesus used the healings to certainly alleviate the suffering of his creation, but he came with something much more valuable: eternal life for those that believe. All of those people that Jesus healed that day in Capernaum have died a physical death. They are no longer walking around on the earth. If they put their full trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they are no longer suffering and they are no longer dead in their trespasses and sin. They are alive in Christ. Everyone who has ever lived has suffered. But if given the choice between having a solitary cure from whatever we may be suffering or struggling with today, or an eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ, which would you choose? It was not an either or with Christ, but I'm sure that there are those there who came just for the cure that Christ used to demonstrate who he was and missed out on the blessing of the reason he was there. He was there to offer God's remedy for sin, to establish a relationship with God that had been lost when Adam and Eve had sinned in the Garden of Eden. Man still has a problem with sin today. Everyone in this room, myself included, is a sinner. And the one true God, the only God, is a holy God. He cannot abide by the sin that is in our lives. His solution was Christ Jesus. We cannot save ourselves from the physical suffering we will face on this earth, and we certainly cannot save ourselves from our sins. Christ is the only one who can do that. If we recognize that we are sinners and that we cannot save ourselves, we put our full trust in Christ Jesus to save us. It is faith in Christ that saves us, not anything that we do. Repent and believe is what Jesus preached, and it is just as true today. Once we are saved, we are freed from the bondage that sin has had over us from the very moment we were born. We are still sinners and we still sin, but we have the ability to confess those sins to God in the relationship that we share with Him. We have the ability not to sin. We have the ability to please God. We have the righteousness of Christ imbued to us. And we also have the indwelling Holy Spirit as a helper. Once we are saved, it is not the end, but the beginning. It is more than just reading John 3:16 and praying the prayer. It needs to be full faith, full trust, full love in Christ Jesus to save us. After we have done that, we need to start growing in the things of the Lord and working on our sanctification, because one day, and we do not know when, He will return. Our love of our Lord and Savior compels us to do His work and His will. We must not be like those who came for the temporary cure and missed the eternal blessing. Jesus is told that people have heard about what He has done and that they are looking for Him. And this is His response. Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. And He was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. All of Capernaum knew about Jesus. Those who were truly seeking the Messiah knew now who He was. It was time to move on to the next town so that those there who would believe would hear the good news that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, their Messiah, our Messiah, had come. Do we know Him as our personal Savior? If we do not, we can. The same God who created everything is the same God that has offered salvation to His people. And that can be us if we accept the good news. Now, many of you may say, but Pastor Adam, I've already accepted the good news. How do we apply this if we are saved? We need to re-up in our understanding of who Christ is and the blessing of why He came. How strong is our relationship with Him? Is He a part of every aspect of our lives, or just some of the aspects of our lives? Is there sin in our lives that we need to work on? Do we talk to God about our struggles with sin? Or are we just asking Him for superficial, temporal things? If we are saved, we need to be recognizing that it is only because of Christ that we are saved. We need to be faithful in our prayer life, in our reading of the Word every day, sharing our testimony and living a life that honors Christ. We are starting Operation Saturation next month on Thursday nights. And I only bring it up because it is a great opportunity to fellowship with fellow Christians and to share the good news of Christ to some very lost people. And I am often surprised by the response that we get when we go out to do Operation Saturation. Last year, Rebecca, Abby, and I were walking around knocking on doors and talking to people. And we got to a door where nobody came to the door when we had knocked. So we hung our information on the door and moved on to the next house. Halfway down the block, we had this college kid come sprinting after us. Turns out he had just moved into the area. He was a student at Michigan State. He was saved. And he wanted to talk to us because we were fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. So we stood there and talked for about 5 minutes just about how we were serving God and what we were doing. It is never wasted time to think about Christ. It is never wasted time to talk about Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for sending Your Son to this earth, for our sins. You didn't need to do it, but you did. It is not something that we fully understand, but we are extremely grateful for it. Help us to keep our focus on Christ as we leave this place and we go out. Help us to look for opportunities to share the good news of His coming. Help us to reach out to those who are lost, who have never heard the good news of Christ, that they can be saved if it be Your will. We love You. We praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.